The following message was given by Brother Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, January 29th, 2017. The title of the message is The Resurrection Life, Swallowing Up Death for the Building of the Church. Scripture verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 26, 29 through 34, 42 through 45, 50 through 58. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, Ephesians chapter 4 verses 29 and 30.
Thank you and we praise you. Oh, you are the resurrected Lord. And we thank you, you are the life-giving Spirit. Oh, and you're living in us and with us. Oh, we love you. We pray, Lord, that you would bring us even more into the reality of resurrection this morning. And swallow up more and more of our death. Amen. So you could bring in your kingdom. Amen. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Saints, resurrection. Resurrection is not merely a fact and an act of nearly 2,000 years ago. And resurrection is not merely a hope for the future. It is a fact of 2,000 years ago. It is a hope for us, for all the believers for the future, but not merely so. Actually, that was my understanding already as a young believer, even a young teenager, there in the Brethren denomination. It was not until I came to the Lord's recovery that I found out, that I discovered that the Lord's resurrection is something for today, is something for now, is something for my daily life. And also, as our brother pointed out 2 weeks ago, it is actually, resurrection is something related to the three parts of our being. Our spirit, our soul, and our body. I thought actually, that really it was only something related to our body in the future. I did not know that the scriptures connect my spirit, my regeneration, my salvation with the resurrection of Christ. Actually, you know, in Romans chapter 10, it says that we need to believe in our heart and we need to confess with our mouth. And if you read it, it says very clearly that we're supposed to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That is, that when we believe, it's connected with resurrection. But actually, even though it says that there, even though I read it, I asked people to believe merely that Christ died for them. I did not preach so much the resurrection when I was preaching the gospel as a very young believer. But the scriptures say that we have to encourage people, believe that God has raised him from the dead, and then you call on him, you call on his name. So this in also in 1 Peter chapter 1, it does say, do we have that there? Yes. Blessed be the God, and let's read together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, our regeneration, the beginning, the initiation of our Christian life is actually connected directly to the Lord's resurrection. You know, according to this verse, we were regenerated when he was resurrected. Not when I was 7 and not when you were whatever age that you prayed. Of course, that was our experience of that regeneration and of his resurrection. But dear saints, this is the point. Resurrection is connected to every part of our being. So we had our beginning. We had our beginning in regeneration, and 1 Peter shows this. But do you realize that today we are in resurrection.
Amen.
Do you feel like you're in resurrection? Well, maybe this morning because we had such a glorious Lord's table. But let me tell you, on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday afternoon, as clearly, as strongly as this morning, you can declare, I am in resurrection.
Amen.
Why? Well, look at this verse, Ephesians 2:5. It says, even when we were dead in offenses, he made us alive together with Christ. Amen. By grace you have been saved. Saints, we died with him and we were raised with him. You know, actually, our baptism is a testimony, whether we realized it or not. And I confess that when I was baptized at 12 years old, I did not have this realization. But when we were baptized, that shows that we died with him. And it's a testimony that we were raised with him.
Amen.
So actually, we are testifying that through our baptism, that we are one with the Lord in his resurrection. And we are raised, it says in Romans, to walk in newness of life, which means that we are to live ongoing every single day of our life on this earth in the reality of resurrection. That is our testimony. And it must become our reality. It must become our reality. Saints, we are in a process. We are in a process of resurrection. Our spirit has been fully resurrected. One day our body will be resurrected. Today, we are in a lifelong, daily process of resurrection. You know, again, two weeks ago, our brother, in beginning this fellowship on chapter 15, our brother James, he mentioned the two lines of life that are established in Genesis. You know, in Genesis, we see the two trees. And from Genesis 2, running through the whole Bible, there are two trees, two lines, the line of life and the line of death, the line of death. And this runs through the whole Bible. Saints, these two lines run through our whole life, through our whole life. Every moment of every day, we are on either one line or the other. On one line or the other. There is not a third option. So our living, where is our living? Is our living on the line of life? If so, then we are living in the reality of Ephesians 2:5. We are raised with him. We are living in the reality of the testimony of our baptism, that we are raised to walk in newness of life. We are living in the reality of resurrection. And as is brought out in 1 Corinthians 15, the reality of resurrection is just the life-giving spirit. The life-giving spirit. So to be in the reality of resurrection, we must contact the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
But praise the Lord that we can have a living according to also 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We covered this verse many months ago. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. How about we declare that verse together? But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Saints, wherever we are, and in whatever situation, and in whatever state we're in, we can declare, I am one spirit with the Lord. By such declaration, actually, it's not that we come into resurrection, it's that we enjoy the reality of our being in resurrection. You know, saints, in Matthew 16:18, I think we read this verse, yes? Matthew 16:18. In Matthew 16:18, there's the declaration. The Lord declares, I will build my church. I will build my church. And we've covered this many, many times. That after he says, I will build my church, even in the same breath, the Lord goes on to reveal something very negative, that there is this thing in the universe called the gates of Hades. The gates of Hades. Of course, in this verse, we have a wonderful promise, right? The gates of Hades shall not prevail. The gates of Hades shall not prevail.
Amen.
And I, of course, I think in all of our experiences, at some time or another, when you look around, have you not felt, oh, the gates of Hades are prevailing? Maybe at one point or another in your church life, maybe even in your group meeting, you know, under the Lord's arrangement, I travel a bit here and there. I tell you, every place, every local church that I have touched, every region all over the globe has experienced the same. That at some time or another, there's been some situation where the saints, if they go by their sight, not by faith, but by their sight, they would say, oh, it seems like the gates of Hades are prevailing. But saints, at every time, whenever we feel that way, we can claim Matthew 16:18. And we can declare, the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Shall not prevail. Okay. However, on one hand, this is a promise. On the other hand, this should serve as a kind of a warning. And that is that the gates of Hades will always try to prevail. They won't give up. The gates of Hades, Satan's kingdom, will not cease. This is never ending until a certain time. One day death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. There is such an end. But you know, that's in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. And it's very, very interesting that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul refers to death, it's in verse 26, as the last enemy. Did you notice that? Were you impressed by that?
Yeah.
The last enemy. And it's almost the last issue that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians. Of course, there's in chapter 16, there's one more item. But Paul mentions death is the last enemy. And in the scriptures, you can see this. You can see this in Revelation. In Revelation, death is finally dealt with. Yes. But, you know, when death is dealt with, when death is thrown into the lake of fire, death and Hades go in there together. You know, death and Hades are a kind of a team. They're always together. Quite a number of times in the scriptures, you will see death and Hades are mentioned together. In the Psalms, a number of times. Even in the Song of Songs, we have a song that we sing pretty often. Of course, it's in Song of Songs. It sounds so romantic. Love, what you know that love is strong as death, and jealousy is as cruel as Sheol. Sheol is Hades in the Old Testament. Of course, there it's so poetic. But actually, that shows death and Hades team up, always together. Now, in Matthew 16, it mentions, Matthew 16, the Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. shall not prevail. The gates of Hades. Well, wherever you see the gates of Hades, death is there. Death is there. The gates of Hades open and death comes out. Death comes out to suck you in. And, saints, this is a great attack and strategy of Satan. How does Satan attack the church? Actually, through death. Not the physical death, but the spiritual death. Through the spiritual death. And very often, dear saints, very often, the spiritual death is spread by our speaking. By our speaking. By our speaking without carefulness. We can spread the death in the church life. You know, that's why as I was preparing, these verses came to mind in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Could we read these two verses together, please? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You know, this is written to the church in Ephesus, which at that time was an excellent church with the capacity to receive such high revelation concerning what is the church. Yet in chapter 4, especially from the middle of the chapter, Paul turns to some very practical matters to talk about the church life, to apply all the things of the vision of the church that are shared in the first 3.5 chapters. Now there's the application in daily life. And saints, nothing is more practical or more daily than our speech, than our speaking, because we live by speaking. We speak at home to our spouse and our children and our family members. We speak on our job. We speak to our relatives. Our lives are speaking. Of course, to some extent, this expresses God. God is a speaking God. But this verse says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Do you know that even as believers, it is possible for corrupt words to come out of our mouth. Why is that? Because there are two lines in the universe, and there are two possibilities for our living. And we do not always live on the line of life. Sometimes we're on the line of death. And there is still some element of the fall, some elements of death in our being. You know, I have really, I think many of us enjoyed the ending of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about death is 54. Death has been swallowed up unto victory. Death has been swallowed up unto victory. You know, this is a quotation actually from Isaiah chapter 25. I think we may have that as well. Isaiah 25. I'd like us actually to read 7 and 8. The quotation is from verse 8, but I'd also like us to read verse 7. Let's read Isaiah 25, 7 and 8. And on this mountain, amen. In these verses, the Lord will swallow up two things. Of course, he'll swallow up death in verse 8. But in verse 7, he swallows up the veil. He swallows up the covering. You know, there's at times we are veiled. Of course, this is talking about literally the covering of the nations so that they don't see God. They don't see Christ. But actually, in our experience, we have veils. We have veils. We need to be unveiled. We need to be unveiled to see. Not only to see the Lord, but to see ourselves. And to see that we are still in a process of resurrection. And there are still elements of death within us. Saints, we need to exercise our spirit to be one with the life-giving spirit. Amen. So that this swallowing up process will go on. Especially in our daily living, in our church life. That he would have the ground to swallow up more and more of our death. You know, I was really inspired and confirmed when we sang hymn 499 in our Lord's Table meeting. You remember 499? Oh, what a life! Oh, what a peace! The Christ who's all within me lives. With him I have been crucified. This glorious fact to me he gives. Now it's no longer I that live, but Christ the Lord within me lives. Here he says, now it's no longer I that live. Of course, this is quoting Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Saints, we need part of us to die. We need to go through death and resurrection constantly. We are in this process of death and resurrection. Death to the self, so that the resurrection life can blossom out of us. And we have so many opportunities for this each and every day. Verse 2, actually, this was the verse that really encapsulates my burden. Oh, what a joy! Oh, what a rest! Christ now is being formed in me. His very nature and life divine in my whole being inwrought shall be. Saints, that is our hope. The divine life, the resurrection life is spreading in our being. Amen. To swallow up all our death. All our death. One day we'll be able to say he has inwrought himself into our whole being. Then it ends. All that I am came to an end. Amen. And all of Christ is all to me. You know, back to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, at the beginning, the verses that we read at the beginning, making his case for resurrection, he says, why also do we brave danger every hour? I protest by the boasting in you, brothers, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. Paul, daily, in his laboring for the Lord in the churches, he went through so many experiences that offered him the opportunity to die. Not physically. He was dying daily. He died daily to himself that the resurrection life could blossom out of him. You know, this week on Monday, we had this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:11. This is another testimony of Paul. It says, for we who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So this shows the process of resurrection. Saints, daily we have the opportunity that part of us would die daily, and the resurrection life would be manifested through within us, that we could be a resurrection man. Amen. That wherever we are in any situation, we would express the resurrection life. Of course, what is the difference between the resurrection life and just life, expressed life. You know, the resurrection life is a life that has been tested, a life that has gone through something, and then still abounds. I tell you, saints, that touches people. That touches people. When people know a little bit of what you've passed through, yet, here you are, still so at peace, still so even content. You know, so many things go on in our daily life, in our work life, in our family life. You know, at work, so many things go on, even sometimes things that are not righteous. And what do people do? Of course, complain. They complain. And there's an atmosphere of complaining. But there you are. Would we be the same? Or would we die daily and let the resurrection life come through us? You're suffering the same, just like everyone else. But something else is expressed through you. Amen. Something else is expressed. So you were tested the same way, facing the same injustices, but so peaceful, even so content. I don't know if I could say joyful, maybe at times, but that touches people. That touches people. Now, saints, I mentioned before that the gates of Hades and death form a team. And very often, the death spreads in the church life through our speaking. We really need to give life to one another. You know, back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, it says that let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up. Only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. How we need the speaking that gives grace to one another, that meets the need. You know, in this portion, just before this, Paul says that we should not speak the lie, but speak truth, each man to his neighbor. Speak truth, each man to his neighbor. And that actually is a quotation from the Old Testament. Even as I mentioned before, in 1 Corinthians 15:54, quotes Isaiah. And you can see in Paul, he was so constituted with the Old Testament. He was so constituted with the Word that as he's writing, the Old Testament verses come out at just the right moment. Just the right moment. You know, that's why it's of course good to know the Word directly, but it's also good to know the references. You know, in the cross references we have in the Bibles. You have, and of course, in the Recovery Version, they come with the footnotes are by the numbers, but the cross-references are by the small lowercase letters. That shows you there are other verses, okay, other verses that go back to other places in the Scripture. And in Paul speaking, it's very interesting if you would go through the chapter and look at the references, so many from the Old Testament. Yet, he just brings them to meet the need. Saints, you know, this is another burden that we have so strongly for this year. That is our being constituted with the truth. Our being constituted with the truth. You know, this week we began this corporate ministry reading project, and we want to encourage all the saints to jump in and to go on. And we're reading through this book together, Truth, Life, the Church, and the Gospel, the four great pillars of the Lord's recovery. So from last week and this week, in this two-week period, we're assigned to read the first three chapters. Very doable, just a few chapters a day. The point of this project is that the ministry that we have been blessed with in the churches helps to open the Word. Open the Word. That we could get into the depths of the Word. So it'd be so good that we would could be able to add this to our daily reading, to go along with what we do with the morning watch. And of course, we have the supplemental reading in the morning watch so that we can study the Word. Why? So that we can be filled with the Word and then give grace at the time of need. You never know when that word that you read, maybe it wasn't today, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was last week, but right now, it's the right word to speak in a certain home meeting. It's the right word to speak to someone who's passing through some difficulty and you're having fellowship. And once we get it within us, the Spirit will anoint us and reach into our constitution, our treasury, to bring up certain sections of the Word and certain sections of ministry that would be a help to one another. We need to aspire to have the kind of speaking that builds the church, that strengthens people on the line of life. You know, saints, these days, the political realm is very hot. It's very hot. And it's also very polarizing. Very polarizing. We need to do our best, especially when we're with the saints, to not be sucked into that realm. Not be sucked into that realm. We need to aspire just to give grace. Give grace to one another. You know, the scriptures tell us that the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. And all the leaders, that it says in Romans chapter 13, are put there by the Lord. And we have to obey for conscience sake. And then 1 Timothy tells us we need to pray for all those in high position. For what? Actually, for the going on of the gospel and the church life. So we need to pray. We need to pray for all the world leaders, so that the Lord's move can flourish on the earth. We need to be careful not to be those who, by our speaking, open the gates of Hades and let death pervade in the church life. And that's either by our speaking, even, of course, today, people speak through their social media too. So we need to be careful. We need to be those who build, not those who spread death. Not those who spread death. May the Lord preserve us never to be used by the enemy to spread death in the church life. But that we would always be on the line of life, and always going on in this process of resurrection. Yes, resurrection is our hope. But resurrection must be our present daily experience. We need to give the Lord the ground to swallow up all the death that's left in our own being. All the death that's left within us. And maybe even in our groups and in our family life, that the Lord would have a way to swallow up the death and fully bring us into resurrection. Because it is in resurrection that he builds the church. Now, I'd like to close with the last verse, verse 58. Well, let's read 57 and 58. There's a strong motivation here for our going on. 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. Saints, the Lord is doing very much in the church life here. And the Lord has his move among us. The Lord has his move among us. And we want to be one with him for this. Of course, as we move on, the enemy will not be silent. The enemy will not be still. So we need to be empowered with the resurrection life. We need to be empowered. We shouldn't be surprised when the enemy attacks. Actually, we should take this as a confirmation that we're on the right track. But we should be immovable. We should be immovable, not shaken, not shaken. That way, we have the strength to go on. Not only immovable, steadfast, steadfast. And in the midst of even attack, always abounding, always abounding. You know, as I was in this verse this week for actually a number of days, I could not help but to consider our senior brothers who are an example of this, of passing through, facing even the physical death, yet steadfast, immovable, and always abounding. Saints, I think this is a great, great pattern for all of us. You know, there are so many saints. The Lord has blessed us here. And of course, even many that are here who came to the church life even before me and before our time. And so there are saints who have been in the entire history of the church life here, 60 years of history. So we have so many older saints. Oh, it is our desire, it is our longing, it is our prayer that all these saints would have the reality of Proverbs 4:18. I think we have that at the end. Yeah, Proverbs 4:18. Please go down a little bit so we can see Hebrews as well. Yeah, we're going to read both of those. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Dear saints, especially the older ones among us, how we long that this would be all of our testimony. Brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. You know, this phrase in 1 Corinthians that says always abounding, there's something particular about it in the Greek language. It means beyond what can be expected. Beyond what can be expected. Beyond whatever standard or expectation you have, the resurrection life in us goes beyond that. Oh, that would be the testimony of all our dear older saints. But our brother James brought this out two weeks ago. This really struck me. You remember when he talked about waiting for the other shoe to drop. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, saints, if we live waiting for the other shoe to drop, we could never be always abounding. Right. We could never have that reality. And our brother alluded to these verses, or quoted these verses, but I think it's good if we could read them together. 14 and 15. Since, therefore, the children... Amen. And might release those who, because of the fear of death, all their life. Oh, by the resurrection life operating within us today, it is both our hope for today and for tomorrow. And oh, saints, it is a bondage. It is a bondage to live under the fear of death. It is such a bondage to live under the fear of death. And I think this is really the testimony of our brothers. There's no fear. There's no fear. There's only steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord that we can have such a testimony and such a pattern to follow. Amen. And that this would be all of our testimony. That all our life, however long the Lord would give us, and of course, our desire, our hope, is that many of us would actually not be there to be resurrected when the Lord comes, but actually to see Him come. And whatever days the Lord gives us, that it would be like the rising of the sun, like the dawning, brighter and brighter. Lord, we pray for all the saints here. Lord, brighter and brighter until the full day.
Amen.
Until the day you take us, or until the day you come to us. May this be our reality, but saints, this is only by the resurrection life. So may the Lord swallow the veils, that we could see our wonderful position, that we could see what He is doing among us and in us, each one of us, and that we'd give Him the cooperation He needs to swallow all the death within us, that we could have a life, a living on the line of life for the building up of the church. Amen.